telling his tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in again for Maggie Dawn, who's off today as she was yesterday. She'll be back on Monday. I'm very grateful to Maggie Dawn for giving me the opportunity to drive the car here around the block a couple times. Also grateful to have the multi-talented Brian Kelly in the booth with me today again. Hi, Brian.
Nothing like being forced to learn all the things at the same time, and then you're multi-talented later on.
well, it's on your business card.
I saw on the back of a bumper sticker the other day in the hardware area, and the truck, giant truck, tiny bumper sticker, it said, figure it out.
There you go. That's your motto. That's what we try to do here on radio. And if you want to call in, we're going to be talking a little bit about the ridiculous statement that Trump made about Milwaukee. We may talk about the U.S. Supreme Court decision on bump stocks this morning, which was outrageous. In the second half hour, we're going to talk about the mental health crisis in our schools and the good things that Biden's done to address that. And then at 3 o'clock, I have candidate Luann Byrd, who's running for the Assembly in the 61st. And then Kristen Hansen, who's president of Blue Sky Waukesha, will be here at 3:30. So it's going to be a fun show. Before we get started, Brian, I wanted to just talk about a bird that I heard.
Okay.
In our backyard. People who know me know I'm a crazy bird watcher, and crazy bird watcher is a redundancy. We're all a little crazy. Some of us are a lot crazy.
Well, some would say that's because birds aren't real, but that's, you know, a whole different tangent. We could do a whole show on birds not being real, but...
No, they're definitely real. And this bird that I heard yesterday morning is my wife's favorite. And I got to give a shout out to my wife, who encouraged me to get back into the radio business, dragging me out of retirement. And the bird in question is a beautiful wood thrush, which is easier to hear than it is to see. It's pretty when you see it, but listen to it. It's got a beautiful sound like a flute.
What's your wife's name?
Jean.
This long-distance dedication goes out from Matt to Gene, who says, I love you, and here's the bird. Would you like a nice cup of coffee with that?
Yeah, we sit on our screened-in porch, which is her idea, too, to listen to this wood thrush. It is a beautiful bird.
Wise lady, Gene.
Yeah. And it was late. We didn't think we were going to get it this year. It arrived after most of the migratory birds, so we thought we were shut out, but came this weekend. We're real happy to have it. So if you want to talk about wood thrushes or any bird, give me a call. But mostly we're going to be talking about politics here.
You got a bird call, or if you want to play the what bird is that game, we can do that too anytime.
Yeah. Last time we were on, we had a guy come in and do an Eastern wood peewee imitation, which was pretty good.
Really well, like spot on.
Anyhow, the phone number over here is 855-752-2482. So give us a call if you're wanting to talk about also Trump in Milwaukee and what that's going to mean, or just how outrageous it was. And the elected officials on the Republican side in Congress really have been backpedaling as fast as they possibly can.
And again, look, just own it, because if you don't, you have to come up with 10 lies on the spot and none of them match up.
They did not coordinate their lie making.
Which is silly, because again, it's not like, oh, I don't believe it, or oh, geez, I'm really offended this time. You know what I mean? Like just own it at this point. Be an adult. Say, yeah, he said that, and this is what I think he meant. Or like, yeah, he said it. He says a lot of dumb things and move on.
Or if, you know, you're there with your three or four Republican buddies from the Wisconsin delegation and the meeting just ended, don't you think you'd say, guys, we should huddle on this, get our stories together?
Yeah, nobody even got that. I haven't even heard anything from Ron Johnson. Was Ron Johnson even there, or is he back in Moscow again for his yearly?
I don't know. Maybe he was consulting with a defense attorney.
Normally he's the one out there going, I know what I'm talking about, and you people are wrong for even thinking that I said anything different.
Brian Stile was especially embarrassing, and I think we've got some audio from him.
Yeah. This is from the afternoon, I believe yesterday, talking about being in a horrible city, and this is from TMJ. He was live on TMJ. Brian Sullivan, he's my congressman and has to march in the parade that I get to see him in. By the way, a little quick note on Brian Stile, okay? We had a. I live in Oak Creek. I'm in the Oak Creek parade. My daughter is usually in it on one of the things, and I've marched in it myself several times. In fact, when Brian Stile was running, I went up, shook his hand, and said, "Hey, let's come on my show. Come on the Devil's show. Let's talk. I want to talk to you." Never took me up. Never answered a thing I said. So anyway, that's to be expected. But so we're in the parade last year, right? And in the middle of the parade. This is also when all Lieutenant Governor was running, former Lieutenant Clayfish, right? And Becky Clayfish was going out and glad-handing she went to every single little girl in that crowd and said, "Wouldn't it be cool if you had a woman governor?"
She earned awesome. That nomination, but the rich boys want to give it to her.
Absolutely, and she went out there and shook every little girl's hand, which I thought was I don't necessarily like. I wouldn't have voted for her. Wouldn't have been my thing. But I thought that was really, really cool. And you know what Brian Stile did? So this is the thing. We were in a pause. The whole parade stopped because they were jammed up at the front, and someone else was doing an act, and nobody could move in. Right, and they were paused. Well, Becky Clayfish said this is an opportunity, and went out and talked to everybody, shook everybody's hand. Brian Stile sat there and just drank water. Wiped his head and looked around and was surrounded. Like, he didn't even talk to his people. He just stood around and waited for the thing to move on.
I mean, one was a great retail politician and the other's a stiff.
Just, he's an empty suit. So anyway, here's the audio.
And TMJ is a very friendly opportunity for him.
For sure. And, you know, look, they're making strides to come towards us now. But, that's funny. I thought, I think that's interesting. But that's a different discussion. Here's Brian Stile on TMJ yesterday.
Thanks for having me on.
Did Donald Trump use the word horrible at all when referring to Milwaukee or issues in Milwaukee?
We talked about the challenges Milwaukee faces, and there's a lot of horrible things going on. I mean, a 9-year-old boy was shot and killed on the north side of Milwaukee in the early morning hours today.
Change the subject.
So the broader conversation here is he wasn't disparaging the city. We were talking about the challenges in the city of Milwaukee, ranging from the election challenges, where the election administrator had to be removed recently, to crime. You also see it in other areas where the Milwaukee Public Schools can't even produce their financial reports.
Another
okay,
tangent.
Congressman, there is context to this, so that's good. I'm glad that you're providing that. But he did say Milwaukee is a horrible city. Is that what he said?
I don't think that he did. I mean, I was in the room. It was a wide-ranging conversation. My recollection
is
that he did not say that. It was a conversation on specific issues, but he definitely didn't disparage the city. And that's
humming.
He didn't disparage the city. That's what I came to specifically do, to anecdotally bring up this shooting, which definitely is a problem. But again, overall statistics say that crime is down. It's just facts that they are there.
I mean, you could see him dancing all around the question there. It's kind of pathetic.
Did he say the specific thing that we said? Well, this is how I can talk about how now I'm going to take my opportunity to go and trash the city that I represent, or the neighboring area where I represent.
Yeah, I got to think Peter Barca is running against Brian Stile. Might be able to make some hay on
this
one.
Oh, they have Peter Barca?
Yeah.
It's nice to actually have someone.
Yeah, they got Peter Barca.
It's good. Someone that people know and someone
Peter
people
Barca was a leader in the state assembly for the Dems.
Yeah.
Was running the Wisconsin Department of Revenue for Evers for several years, a very highly accomplished legislator. And, yeah, I think he's got a good shot, especially with the fairer maps that we're looking at.
I'd also like to say that I'd appreciate some sort of running that is I'm not the other guy.
Yeah.
I think Peter Barca can stand for something and not, hey, I'm not that empty suit guy.
No, he's a very impressive public servant, Peter Barca. So I think he'd be a great replacement for Brian Stile.
My goodness. And like the stuff that he says he's doing isn't the stuff that he's doing. I asked him about specific things and he responded with like gobbledygook again. And I'm like, man, you voted against the thing that you said you're for twice. Doesn't matter. And none of it matters. None of it matters. It's just whatever you want to put on him, he's going to say. And if he has a chance to go and disparage how crappy Milwaukee is, then you can do that. You can go to any city and nitpick all the crap that's in there, but there's some really awesome stuff.
It's not a winning strategy for Republicans, though, in Wisconsin. If they want to win Wisconsin, you can't just keep trashing the biggest city in Wisconsin. You're not going to get votes out of Milwaukee that way. You need some votes out of Milwaukee.
They're trashing Milwaukee and Madison and go ahead. Like the people who want to secede from the union. Oh, okay, take all the red states out. Then what do you have? All the economic centers left. What are you going to do? Where are you going to sell? All the people you need to sell all the food you're growing lives in all the places that you hate.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And the fact that Brian Stile and Grothman, too. Grothman, of course, brought up the election denial stuff, which Stile, too, was waving at. Van Orden talked about crime. I mean, they were all just scampering all over the place like a bunch of bugs. But look, Trump has embarrassed himself, though he's impossible to embarrass. He's got no shame, so, he doesn't care. These guys understood it was a political problem. That's why they're dancing all over the place to try to cover it up. It's not a problem as far as Trump is concerned, though it should be. He just has no self-knowledge, no self-awareness, no self-reflection. That's who he is. He's a pathological narcissist. We know that by now.
I guess what bothers me, I mean, I don't... The Trump thing, I'm not like, oh, man, oh, it's mad. It's like these people put up the picture of Ho Chi Minh City for the RNC. It's not like they even care. They're going to spend the entire convention trashing the city they're in anyway. All they're going to do is talk about how horrible it is to be in the place that they are and so then wonder why nobody likes them.
Why'd they pick up Pickett? That's crazy.
Because they need Wisconsin. Look, why do they do any of the stuff that they do? But the thing is like, I could have told you what Brian Stile was going to say before he said it. Every single time. Almost every single time. I can tell you how he's going to respond and the way he's going to respond because he's that predictable. He's going to take whatever they say and just turn it around because that's what he does.
It's the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm subbing in for today. Matt Rothschild, I'm here with Brian Kelly. We'll be back with a funny Jimmy Kimmel take on this Milwaukee comment by Trump.
May the last one burn into flame.
Now, here's what happens with President Walker, whose state, by the way, is a disaster, but I won't say that.
Matt Rothschild back with you on the Maggie Dawn Show. She's out today. She was out yesterday. She's getting some time off as she deserves. She'll be back on Monday. Grateful to Maggie for letting me sit behind the mic here with Brian Kelly, who's in the booth. We're having fun talking about Trump's outrageous comment about Milwaukee being a horrible city. And right before the break, of course, Brian played that clip of Trump saying that our state's a disaster. So.
Now, here's what happens with President Walker, whose state, by the way, is a disaster. But I won't say that.
Not a lot of love here. Not a lot of love for Wisconsin or Milwaukee from Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, you have to go and paint everything as horrible so that you can be the one that comes in and fixes it, right?
Only he can fix things. He's told us that time and time again.
What a winner.
Yeah. I just am hoping that people have had enough of this megalomania, this narcissism from Trump. I mean, the one thing that Obama did that was successful was say, turn the page on all the Clinton drama and just let's move beyond. And I hope Biden can do the same with Trump. I know there are a lot of people who would like to see that happen. A lot of people wanted to, let's be honest, turn the page on both of them, both Biden and Trump, but we don't have that opportunity. Right.
Wish
now.
We could.
Yeah. I mean, I was for having a different candidate there too, but look, we're down to this choice. Trump, Biden, and to me, there's no choice whatsoever. We have a very sick man in Donald Trump who has no respect whatsoever for our democracy. And we have Joe Biden who's just trying to do a job as president. He's done a better job than I thought he'd do, frankly. He was more progressive a president than I thought he'd be, especially domestically. And, I don't want to see Donald Trump with his hand on the nuclear button. I don't want to see Donald Trump ripping up the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, you said something there about Biden being more progressive than you thought he would be. And I got to go and say this is the power of actual, solid, policy and actual solid ideas, because he got dragged that way by the popularity of Bernie Sanders, who gave him a run for his money. And exactly. Then until basically COVID hit and Barack Obama had a backdoor meeting and called everyone and said, everyone drop out, back Joe. We can't just mess around with this COVID crap. Let's go.
Yeah, and that was, I thought, just an outrageous thing to do. Sanders was on his way to getting victory, and then they told Buttigieg to drop out, and then they told Klobuchar to drop out.
All within the same couple days, and they all threw their stuff behind Biden, and that's how it happened. And look, I don't like it either, but Biden was smart enough to go and say, well, the guy pushed the needle enough that I'm not going to get support unless I pull those people along with me.
And he actually listened to Sanders, and he and Bernie actually get along real well.
Yes, but that's exactly why I want and why we keep fighting for fair maps all the time, is because when you have someone that can push the needle in a policy way, in a very strong, like, ideas way, that has no, it does, again, it doesn't matter. I don't care if Joe Biden wins or Bernie Sanders wins. I care that the policy that I like gets pushed through, okay? And when you have fixed maps and rigged agendas and people who just don't have any competition whatsoever, you have no incentive to compromise.
Right. And Biden was smart enough to listen to Bernie Sanders on a range of policy issues. And one of the great things about the Maggie Dawn show is that she's pointing out issue after issue after issue where President Biden has done good things. For 100 days, she's pointing out in 100 issue areas in very specific ways how Joe Biden has done a good job as president and has helped you. You as an American citizen, you as a person here in Wisconsin, and has made the country better. I mean, Biden takes governing seriously. Maggie Dawn takes governing seriously, too. And Trump is in it for the adulation. Trump's in it for getting himself out of jail. Trump's in it because he's got an ego bigger than metropolitan Chicago.
But there are people who like to go and sit in a seat and press buttons and make phone calls and call it, I'm doing stuff. And then there are people who actually realize that the water has to run and the roads have to be, fixed and stuff has to happen. You can't just go, well, I don't like it. Bam. It just doesn't work that way. Government is hard.
Yeah, we need people who can get stuff done. And Biden's gotten stuff done. And Maggie's pointing out 100 things he's got done that the next time that someone comes up to you when you're at the supermarket or at a cocktail party or at the bar and someone says, Joe Biden hasn't done jack. He's done more than jack. He's done 100 things. Just listen to the Maggie Dawn show.
Yeah, the first week we did the economy. This week is education. And I'm going to go and check on next week in just a moment. We'll get back to you. But right now we're going to keep talking about education. We've had a lot of great guests this week. We've talked to Busted Pencils about student loans. We've talked to Scott Ross about student loans. We've talked to them about changes, what Biden has done for actual teachers in the classroom, what you can do.
Scott Ross was great yesterday on student loans. And the truth of the matter is Biden has canceled more than 4 million student loans already. He tried to cancel 43 million, but the right-wing U.S. Supreme Court wouldn't let him. So he kept finding other ways to give people some relief who needed the relief.
Everybody get your pens out. Get ready to write this down. I'm going to give you a number. This is the Biden number. There's a voicemail to go and talk about how either Biden has affected you positively or even negatively. If you want to go and give a counterpoint to what we've been putting out there, please do. It's 608-688-9088. This is a large project we're going to be doing all the way up to the election, 100 days of Joe Biden. And we're going to be talking about all the good things that Joe Biden has done, 100 things, new thing every day. We have research on this. We're making sure that it is correct. And every single thing that we are putting out towards you has been researched and is factually correct. It's 608-688-9088. And give us a call and tell us what you think about the Biden administration.
Yeah, and we are, in the next half hour, going to dive a little bit into how the Biden administration has helped out on a really crucial issue of mental health in our schools. And I think it's important for us to address that. So if you're a teacher, if you're a social worker, if you're a nurse in the schools, if you're an administrator in the schools, if you're a student who's been in the schools during the last several years and you understand the mental health crisis crises that many students have been facing. I certainly want to hear from you at 855-752-2482. That's 855-752-2482. But yeah, as you were saying before, Brian, there are people and in every office, in every nonprofit, in every business, and in every government agency or administration, people who want to get stuff done or people just kind of want to sit there and bask in the glory. And I was always for, give me the people who get stuff done. I mean, I wouldn't use the word stuff, but
yeah,
those are the folks I wanted.
Well, because at the end of the day, you end up having to produce sometimes, unless you're a venture capitalist and you just sell off everything and then go and buy a next thing.
Yeah, but you know, not many of us are like that. And you know what they're doing to the economy, just hollowing the sucker out. I want the people who are doing the work, not in it for the glory, just doing the work to get stuff done and to help people. And I do think that's at the heart of who Joe Biden is. That's at the heart of who most of the people in his administration are. They're trying to make life better for you. And that's what our best public servants do. And that's why the best people in public service are doing that day in and day out. Not all politicians are bad. Not all politicians are crooked. Not all politicians are just in it for themselves. That's a message Maggie Dawn delivers a lot. And I wanted to echo it here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in for Maggie today. She'll be back on Monday. I'm here with Brian. I hope you'll join us in the next little bit. Talk about mental health in the schools.
I alone can fix it.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network with Brian Kelly in the booth playing that beautiful Paul McCartney song. It wasn't Paul himself, though.
This is Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Oh, there you go.
What wonderful harmonies.
Yeah, great harmonies. And this
what
was
sexual energy.
This also was I don't know about the energy.
Sorry.
This was a civil rights song, too, which was great by Paul McCartney. So, anyway, today we're picking up a theme that Maggie's been laying down over the last couple of weeks, and that is the theme of the good that Joe Biden has done that no one really talks about. You know, you hear people blabbing on about he hasn't done anything, what's he done for me, all this nonsense. Truth of the matter is he's done a whole hell of a lot. And so what Maggie Dawn has been doing on her Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network is demonstrating to people, and I think this is her training as a lawyer, you know, I'm going to just show people. I'm going to get the facts out and show them that he's done a whole lot. And so that's what she's been doing. And this week has been, last week was the economy. She talked about the good that he's done keeping this economy afloat after the crisis that was COVID. And he did do a great deal there. I wish the Fed has been a little more responsive than it's been, but he doesn't control the Federal Reserve Board. And this week, she's been dedicating her show to the issue of education and what Joe Biden has done on that front. And so yesterday when I was subbing in for her, we talked about student debt and the tremendous amount of effort that Joe Biden is putting into addressing this. First, he tried to cancel the student debt of 43 million Americans, but the U.S. Supreme Court wouldn't let him. So he found other programs to allow him to cancel more than 4 million of those debts, and to allow a lot of relief on interest payments for 23 million other people. So that's a huge amount. And today we're going to be talking about Joe Biden's record on trying to help out in the schools with the crisis that is mental health.
Now, before we go forward, I do want to let everybody know next week we're going to be talking about the environment. Environment is going to be the topic for next week. And if you have any comments about the economy, education, the environment, or literally anything to do with Biden's policies, give a call. We do have a hotline at 608-688-9088. Once again, 608-688-9088. Leave a voicemail, talk about Biden's policies and what they mean to you, and we'll parse them out and make sure that we get your feedback and put it out here.
There you go. Can't be more transparent than that. So let me just open this by talking about the problem of the mental health crisis in our schools. You know, there was the pandemic. There's drugs, of course, that are in all of our schools. There's peer pressure, which has only been heightened to an astronomical degree by social media. And so we have this burgeoning mental health crisis. We've seen the rash of school shootings. We know our kids are being trained about what should happen should there be a school shooting. And it's just a tragedy that they have to be trained in that.
They used to go, my daughter has been going to active school shooter training since she was in kindergarten. Yeah. She's now in eighth, going into seventh grade. And on top of that, kids now walk down the hallways. Used to be thinking, hey, is that door unlocked? Maybe I can sneak in there later and kind of, you know, do whatever I want to do. Now they're looking to see if the janitor's closet is unlocked so they can hide in there. So
yeah.
They're thinking about, hey, am I going to go and be a human shield for that person or not?
Yeah, that's the atmosphere in today's schools. And I'm reminded, Brian, by a comment a doctor in Janesville told me. He says, instead of doing these school shooting drills, what they should teach is how to do a tourniquet. Tell everyone in the school how to do a tourniquet. And that just took my breath away. Really? That's where we're at right now?
It's more practical.
I mean, it's true. I mean, I'm sure it probably would save more people's lives.
I guarantee you so many people bled out more because they were waiting for help to come in.
He's a doc. He's a medical professional. He knows the score here. But to hear that and to recognize that really is where we're at right now is just makes my stomach turn.
And kids are going to school with the thought of not if, but when.
Yeah.
That's where they're at. It's not, hey, is someone going to beat me up after lunch? It's, is someone going to come in and kill everybody that I know because somebody said something the wrong way or whatever?
Yeah, and have to live with that day in and day out. If you're a kid or if you're an administrator, if you're a teacher, it's not something I had to deal with growing up.
And the other aspect to it is, and the other thing I want to make sure very importantly, especially since we're talking about mental health here, is these people who are the shooters, the kids that go out and do these things, everybody likes to go and make them out to be some sort of lone wolf, or this is the one person out there and they were a loner or they were a part of that community, whether you wanted them to be or not. And you produce that person in your community. You help that thrive and you let that grow and you let it happen. I'm not saying, do not misunderstand me. I'm not blaming the victims. What I'm telling you is that this is a problem that all of us have. It's not just one person. It's not just, hey, we need to go and stop the crazy person, because I don't like that term, but that's the way that we look at this. And the way we need to look at this is all of us. This person was one of us, and we need to take responsibility for what we're doing to our children.
Yeah. I mean, these shooters are a product of our culture. They grow in the same soil as the rest of us. And that's an important fact. I mean, of course, there's the problem of guns that was underlined again today by the ridiculous U.S. Supreme Court decision on bump stocks. And then we have a problem, a mental health crisis of teen suicide. I mean, suicide is the second leading cause of death among teens in America, second only to, of course, car accidents.
One of my best friends, his stepson, same thing. And it was one of those situations where, you think about, you look back and you see the signs, but at the time in the moment, you don't. And it's.
And I can only imagine the horror as a parent when that happens.
Just and the guilt, the blame, the shame on top of that, it's. You never know. You never know. And that's. We have to be aware. That's why mental health is so important of an issue. It's a crisis, and there's so many things that can exacerbate it now. It's not that people have this had different issues. We're hormone factories while we're growing up. Those things are going to come out, and people react really weird to them. That's understandable. How we approach that is what is key.
Yeah, and so, you know, the Biden administration, the Department of Education, aware of this crisis, has tried to address it. Here's some of the things that it's done. 16 months ago, the U.S. Department of Education announced awards of more than $188 million in over 30 states to increase access to school-based mental health services and to strengthen the pipeline of mental health professionals in high needs districts.
Just to give you an idea, I know a couple people in this industry. They each have multiple schools, not multiple classes, not like a couple in each, like couple groups in, like they have the ninth grade and the eighth. No, they have all the schools.
I mean, that's true with social workers, psychiatrists, and school nurses. As I mentioned, my wife was a school nurse. In a lot of districts, the school nurse isn't just in one school anymore. They're in two schools or three schools.
How do you even remotely take care of anyone at all?
No, this is what underfunding of our public schools has done. The professionals who are there to help the students in need are spread so thin. And so back to what Biden's done, these grants will enable communities to hire approximately 5,400 school-based mental health professionals and train an estimated 5,500 more. So these grants were delivered to 30 states. Oh, by the way, one was Wisconsin. I'm going to read off the couple schools that benefited from it. In Wisconsin, Shell Lake High School, $199,000 and change. Shell Lake is way up in the Northwest. I visited there. I used to give talks there. Great little community right on the water. And then Sauk Prairie School District, $947,000. And then a couple colleges, Elvirno College, right here in the Milwaukee area.
That's exactly where the person I know was trained.
$500,000. And Marquette, where my wife got her nursing degree, Marquette University, $195,000. So they have been trying to address this. And last fall, they did something more. The Biden administration sent more money our way to address this issue. It gave the UW-Madison $2.6 million award to support mental health services and professionals in schools. The Board of Regents will establish a National Mental Health Evaluation Training Research and Innovation Center for schools to deal with this issue. Those are just two things that the Biden administration has done on this issue, which I think is very important, helping out here in Wisconsin too. So it's not like he's disregarding folks here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it's not like he's just giving it to his cronies either. It's Marquette and Elvirno. Those are two different types of colleges too.
And I don't think the Bidens have cronies in Shell Lake or Sauk Prairie either.
Yeah, that's on the other side of the state too. So again, putting it where it needs to be. I mean, there's more. There has to be more. But again, you have to start somewhere, and you have to train the people. Again, it's awesome if you have enough money to hire people, but if nobody's going into the industry, you're not going to be able to hire anyone.
Part of it is recognizing the problem. Part of it is recognizing that government can do something about the problem. And Biden isn't saying let's do away with the Department of Education like the Trump folks are. He's using the Department of Education to try to address this really serious problem.
But he's also not dictating things. He's saying, here is money for mental health. If you spend it on mental health, you get this money. And other than that, you know how best to do it because you're the people who are in the community and you're the ones who know how to fix it.
And I'm sure those schools that got it here in Wisconsin, Elvirno, Marquette, Shell Lake, Prairie du Sac, I'm sure they applied for it. So they jumped through their hoops. They got their awards. They got their money. That's how government's supposed to work. And you've got to understand, how policy works, how our government works to help people, instead of just trying to destroy everything that isn't, the Pentagon, which seems to be the Republican strategy, or just use the government as a ATM for your buddies in the top 1%.
Which, again, you can probably do that, but maybe do it in a less completely obvious way. I just go back to the old traditional way of just doing it under the table or in like nice, like hidden ways. And
in
not
paper
just,
bags.
Yeah. Just whatever the paper bags or the envelopes in the park. I picture all the parks in Washington, D.C., just a bunch of people on benches passing each other envelopes. That's all it is. It's trench coats and envelopes.
That's the visual I got, too. Hey, Brian, I wanted to read a text we got from Jack from Merrimack, if it's all right.
Please.
He writes, I'm an old guy who grew up with duck and cover. That's the nuclear weapons, nuclear war exercise that you would get under the desk. That was during the Cold War. But that was abstract, he said. For today's kids, this is a very real personal problem. There are threats via social media. There are posts of the actual attacks that have taken place, and some in real time. And of course, he adds, many have lost schoolmates, friends, and acquaintances. He concludes by saying, we need better preventive services, of course, but we need much, much more for those directly affected by the killings as well. And we need to prevent those killings by having better mental health professionals in our schools and in our communities who can address the problems before they blow up into mass shootings.
You know what also would help? More teachers, smaller class sizes, because kids like that really easily fall through the cracks when you have gigantic class sizes and you cannot actually follow these people individually as long as they want to. One of my sixth grade teacher told me, I'm going to spend more time with you than your parents ever will by the hours.
Oof, that's intense.
And it was true, because eventually you're going to move away and you're not going to spend all your time with your parents. And for the most part, your teacher's going to be there more than your parents are for that whole year.
Yeah. Smaller classrooms, more teachers, more nurses, more social workers, more psychiatrists, more help in the schools. Not just arming the teachers. That's not going to get it done.
More eyes on the ball.
Yeah. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been talking with Brian Kelly here in the booth. You can join our conversation, 855-752-2482. Looking forward to hearing from you.
You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
It's a process. It's a process. We'll get it done.
Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the state of Wisconsin. I'm here with my friend Brian Kelly, who I've known for many years now in this role, or this ever-changing, expanding role in getting an alternative radio information network out to you across the state, which I firmly believe in. I've been a big supporter all along. And I welcome your calls here at 855-752-2482. We're talking about Biden's policy toward mental health. It's part of what Maggie Dawn has been doing here so well, showing us the good that Joe Biden has done that you almost never hear about, because people don't want to get into the facts. They just want to say, I like him, I don't like him, blah, blah, blah. But if you want to say he's done nothing, you're really not looking at the record, because the record is quite dramatic. On these domestic issues, Joe Biden has done a great deal of good. And I love that little clip, Brian, that you played before the break there. It's a process. It's a process. We'll get it done. That's his approach. It's always been his approach. It's the approach of every person who goes into government to do the right thing, and that is to help solve problems. I don't think Brian Stile is there to help solve problems. I know Ron Johnson isn't there to help this solve the problems of his constituency, or Glenn Grossman or Van Orden for that matter. They're there for the power, the glory, whatever it is. And they're not getting to the everyday problems that Wisconsinites have been facing, and that all people in across the country are facing with this mental health crisis. We all have extended families. We all know people who've had mental health crises. And it's really impressive what Joe Biden has done in trying to address this problem. First, recognizing this problem, talking about the problem, and then doing something about the problem.
He's had to deal with it head on in his own family. And on top of that, I don't know, losing half of your family in a freaking car accident early on in your career, that's going to take a toll on you. And I can totally understand why I would definitely trust Joe Biden when it comes to mental health and strategy there.
And, you know, he's got Hunter Biden, who's had his struggles, Lord knows. Biden understands that people face problems in their lives. He understands that the government has a role to play to help people with their problems, and that we all in community, and that's what government really is. a representation of our community. I mean, businesses are dictatorships, guys.
Yeah.
Government is a democracy where we elect people to do things for us.
And to be frank, businesses need to be dictatorships so that businesses can run correctly.
Right.
And governments need to be not that, directly not that, because I'm calling founding fathers again. That's the point.
Yeah. But you don't have a say unless you got a strong union in how the company you work for is going to run. The yeah. people at the top tell you essentially how it's going to run in most businesses. But the government is one place where we, as members of the community, can choose our elected officials, can look at what they're going to do, can analyze what they're saying, can examine their character, and let's examine the character of Trump and Biden, and then come to a rational decision as to who you want running the show.
But any sort of policy, anything that actually rolls out, any sort of law, any sort of execution of said law, needs to be brought in a process that is government-based. It can't be just... And look at, listen to the two differences between the people and how they go about solving problems.
I alone can fix it.
Or...
It's a process. It's a process. We'll get it done.
Both are very confident. Both say they will get it done. But one of them is reality about it, because you can't just... The whole point of the United States government is no one person can go in and say, this is how it's done and this is how it's going to be done.
Well, and look at the pronouns. I alone can fix it. That's the first person. And Biden, we'll get it done. That's the first person, plural. That's us. That's us together, all of us in community. Not I'll surrender everything to the one great leader who can solve all our problems. That's not how a democracy works. That's not how a good society works.
It can't work that way. It just can't. We've proven it over and over again.
Well, we've seen the experiment, certainly, in the 20th century.
We are the, folks, we are the experiment. That's the other thing. We act as if, like, this is a done deal. Like, the democracy thing is just, that's it. We've done it. And look at us. We've done. We're only, like, we're not even a couple hundred years old. There are civilizations that are thousands of years old continually. China has been around, as specifically China, since, what, 1200?
Yeah,
and before?
And let's face it, I mean, democracies are fragile. I mean, we are told in civics class in seventh grade what a great system of checks and balances we have. It's not that great. We almost lost the whole sucker on January 6th. And look, I mean, Chile was a democracy for 100 years and it lost it in a night. And we almost lost it on January 6th. So it's an experiment. We don't want to blow up the experiment. And we don't want to put someone in the lab who has told us he's going to blow up the experiment.
Yeah, that's not, you have to be have the same basis of reality, which is also part of mental health.
Yeah, but I just think, you know, there are some people in our country who just kind of want to give everything to the great leader.
It's a lot easier that way than you just check in, you pay your bills, and you go away, and it's totally fine. And it's fine that they brought our neighbor away. That neighbor was weird, and that neighbor's gone now, so it's fine. They took him away, and now I have less people and more flags.
Well, right? That's what I worry about. I mean, I worry about taking our neighbors away. I mean, Trump's talking about deporting, 11 million, 12 million, 13 million people here in this country.
Yeah, and Bill Barr is sitting there going, no, I don't, he would say that stuff like go and execute that person or go kill them, but we all knew he was joking, and he was just blowing off steam. Why do you think that people wouldn't do They can't even figure out whether he said Milwaukee was a horrible place or not and agree upon it. You're telling me they're going to figure out whether he's joking or not every time?
Yeah, I don't think he's joking. And this is, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? I mean, that's where we're at right now in this country. He's telling us what he's going to do. He's going to be a dictator on day one. And I don't believe that he's just going to be a dictator for that one day like he's saying. And he said he doesn't want to abide by the Constitution. Going to do things that aren't allowed in the Constitution. Really, what more do you need than that? That's all I need, and I'm hoping that's all you need too. Please stay with me. We've got Luann Bird coming up. She's running in the 61st. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Maggie Dawn, who'll be back on Monday. I'm sure you'll be glad for that. I'm here with Brian Kelly, and we'll be back in a second.
It's a process. It's a process. We'll get it done.
I alone can fix it.
Now you're going to believe me or your lying eyes.